idea, the revelation of God. Today we are using Twitter. But if Jesus has an account, how many of you will sign up to follow him? You are killing me? You don't want to follow Jesus? This is nowadays follow Jesus, you know? Using Twitter. But I just want you to see the real picture. You will understand how the prophets played a role in the Old Testament time and how the people look at them. Just like today, we don't read the Bible as much as we follow the Twitters. Right? You don't have to raise your hand to tell me, because you know where you are at this. But Jesus, God spoke through him, in him, by him today. Not anymore like the prophets in those days. Verse 3, he is the Son of God. In verse 2, before he did everything. A lot of people say that because of what he did on the cross, so he became the Son of God. But if you look at verse 2, the author, the writer says that he is the Son of God. God today speaks through and in and by him. And verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Verse 3, the original language in this book say exact representation means a stamp. You see the stamp before? Or the engraver, you know, grade something, exact copy for the jury. Jesus Christ was the express image, exact copy of who God is. So seeing him, relating to him, actually, we can know God. Not like prophets, we can know about God. But through Jesus Christ, we can know God. He is the image, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 9. He is the image of the invisible God. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You see, the writer says that he is better, supreme than all the prophets. But it's not enough, because you can still see Jesus as just man, because he's comparing him with all kinds of prophets. But he goes further. And then in verse 4, you can read it, and then you will see the comparison here. He's better than angels. In the Old Testament, from time to time, you will see angels were referring to gods, small g, okay? But in verse 5 here, the Son, if you read verse 5 in NIV, please turn to your Bible, maybe same thing here. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have become your Father? NIV try to avoid a very crucial word, which create a lot of controversy, which is the begotten. You have begotten. In verse 5, and he, actually, today I, God the Father, I have begotten your Father. Not becoming, I'm sorry, I have becoming your Father. This should not be written like that. God has begotten the Son. A lot of cults will use this word and say, you see, Jesus had a beginning. But if you look at the background, if you read the book of Hebrews, you understand that in those days, a lot of people believe Jesus was just an angel, a high-ranking angel, created angel. And the writer tried to prove to them that, you know, even though angels were called gods in the Old Testament a few times, they were not begotten. Only Jesus, the Son, was begotten. He wanted to make a difference, not trying to create a confusion telling us that Jesus was created. But he tried to set Jesus apart from all angels. No angels was begotten. They were created in a sense, but Jesus was begotten as a Son of God. I'm sure you remember many years ago, I think more than 15 years ago, there's a lot of TV shows about angels, remember? Even movies, to these days, you still have see some movies regarding angels, talking about how angels, you know, involve human business, all these things, good or bad, all this. And those days, for some reason, a lot of people love to talk about angels, but nobody wants to talk about God. People rather believe in angels somehow, but would not want to talk about God. And in the eyes of those movie makers, you know, they try to interpret angels, but they don't read the Bibles. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Angel is beautiful, majestic, and they are powerful servants of God. We read the Bible, we know that. But they cannot be worshipped. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. I fell, you know, John was talking. I fell at his feet, he was talking to angel. Verse 9, if you look at the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, you will see that the angel appealed to him. So he fell at his feet to worship him. Him is angel. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Angels refused to be worshipped because they were not God. But Jesus never refused to be worshipped. If you read the New Testament, the wise man came to worship him, and Jesus healed the blind man. I shared this passage with you a few weeks ago, and then he bowed down to worship Jesus in John chapter 9. And after disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they worshiped him as he came into the boat, Matthew chapter 14. After his resurrection, his disciples worshiped him again. When Jesus saw Thomas, his wounded hand and side, Thomas fell down and worshiped him, "My Lord and my God." You see, Jesus never refused to be worshipped, but angels would not. He performed a lot of miracles. He healed the sick, cast demons, and he deserved to be worshipped. And the writer tried to prove to us that not only he was supreme than the prophets, but he was higher to all the angels. Read verse 4. So he became so much supremer to the angel as the name he has inherited is supremer to theirs. This is very important to correct the heresy. As I said, in those days, they were thinking, and the church was attacked, and the new teaching came into the church and say that Jesus was only an angel, even though he hold a very high position, but he was just an angel. Even today, the cults like Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, they will tell you that Jesus Christ was what? Was nothing more than an angel. It created God the most. And they will not believe Jesus is God. And we do believe that he is the Son of God. First of all, I have to turn it on. Oh, now it works. Second point, the second thing that the book of Hebrews highlights for us is the works of Christ. If you read starting chapter verse 5 to the end of chapter 1, mainly to verse 13, you will see the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only he is the Son of God, and he also works for God. And if you look at it, you will roughly see, I would like to present it to you, three things that he did or he does. The first thing is that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the creation. In verse 2 describes, Jesus is the Word of God. As you know, just Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and it became. God spoke, just like constructions. Many of you are, not many of you, some of you are engineers, you know, God the Father, just like the company, he wants to build a building. And then Jesus was the engineer. And the Holy Spirit is what? The driver of the bulldozer, the cranes, you know, he is actually the one, you know, putting things up. But Jesus was the engineer. And God the Father was the one who, what, draw things or intended to build a building, but Jesus has done it. And he is the one create everything. Not only he create everything. The second thing is that he sustained all things, even now. Look at the universe today. Observe a life in the deepest sea. Everything is still in order because he continues to sustain all things. Some people you will hear, they will admit, okay, God created the world, created the universe, but he left. Have you heard that before? And he's no more. He's not in our business. Because if you would have involved in our business, he would not let this happen. He would not let that happen. You know, that's the argument. So the conclusion is, oh, maybe God created the universe. Okay, I got that. But he's left. No, it's not true, because the author, the writer tells us that he continues to sustain all things. Everything is the right place, doing the right thing. The sun is still rise and set because Jesus sustains all things. And you and I should thank God because he is still here. He is still into our business. The third one, Jesus was the savior of all mankind. As you can see, I tell you a story. As a kid, third grade, his name is Mark. Mark teaches call his mother in the middle of the afternoon, you know, Mrs. Smith. Your son did something in class that surprised me so much that I think I need to call you to let you know immediately. You know, being a parent, how many of you have received phone call in the middle of work from school? No? Wow. Your kids are very well behaved and they are really well, you know. I mean, teachers, have you made phone calls before? A lot, right? So sometimes I get a phone call, I would just even pick up the phone call and say, it's Whitfield. Uh-oh. You know, even before I hear anything, I already starting to worry about what is going on. So this teacher called the mother. And of course, natural response was she was concerned, even though she knew her third grader was usually well-behaved. And nothing like this would happen in all my years of teaching. That's what the teacher said. This morning, she said, I was teaching a lesson on creative writing. And as I always do, maybe you heard this story before, I told the story of the ant and the grasshopper. Have you heard this story before? The ant and the grasshopper? She told the mother and the story. The ant works hard all summer and store up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does not work. So the winter comes, you know the story, you can follow the logic. The grasshopper begins to starve because he never store up the food because he has no food anymore. He begins to beg, please, Mr. Ant, you have much food, please let me eat too. The teacher said, then I told them, boys and girls, your job is to write the ending of the story. Your son, Mark, raised his hand and asked if he could draw a picture. And I told him that, you know, as teachers, you know, I told him that he could, if he finished the ending of the story first. As in all the years past, most of the students said that the ants shared, no, this is what the teacher said. Most of the students said that the ant shared his food through the winter, and both the ant and the grasshopper live. Happy story, right? Happy ending. And few children wrote, no, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked in the summer. Now I have just enough food for myself. So the ant lived and the grasshopper died. Would you write that ending? Some of you might. But your son ended the story in a way different from any other child ever, he wrote. Listen. So the ant gave all his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died. And what was the picture at the bottom of the page? Mark drew the picture. Mark had drawn three crosses, three graders, the third graders. The ant sacrificed his life for the grasshopper. No one else would do what Jesus Christ has done, brothers and sisters. No one else would be willing to do what he has done. He gave his life that we might live. He is the true revelation of God. He saved us. Jesus Christ is unique. He is like no other. He's not like Moses. Moses was the lawgiver. But Jesus came to fulfill the law and free us from the condemnation of the law. Jesus Christ was greater than the priest. The high priest has to go into the temple, Holy of Holies, once a year. But Jesus had done once and for all. If you read Hebrews chapter 7, you will read that he was the high priest, and he was the only one. And in the book of Hebrews, he was taught as the high priest for each one of us. In a similar fashion, the other religious leaders of the world might have a home remedy. You know, home remedy? A lot of time we try to fix ourselves when we are ill or something like that at home. Other world religious leaders might have a home remedy for what afflicts the world. But Jesus is the great physician. Moses and the prophets were great spiritual leaders, but Jesus Christ is God. He is the radiance of God's glory. So don't, if you have questions about who Jesus is, I hope today, starting from the book of Hebrews, you will remove all these doubts in your heart. The third thing that the book of Hebrews highlights for us is the position that Jesus has taken. If you read this, you will continue to follow. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, verse 3. No one else was qualified to do that because he had done it all for each one of us. He alone could take away our sins through his sacrifice on the cross. There's a story about a school board, well, maybe a Toronto school board, could be anyway, that had done an exhaustive search for a new principal of a local high school. Listen, after meeting with several candidates, they have a press conference. The president of the board walked to the microphone and said, after finding no qualified candidates for the position of principal, the school board is extremely pleased to announce the appointment of Mr. Stan Mann to the position. Do you get the story? After finding no qualified candidates for the position of principal, the school board is extremely pleased to announce the appointment of Mr. Stan Mann to the position. That means I'm not qualified. And they make an announcement. Jesus Christ is qualified for his position. Maybe Mr. Stan Mann is not qualified, but Jesus surely does. He's uniquely and fully qualified for the work he has given to us. I have a question for you at the end. I want you to ask you questions. Because in chapter 1, next week I will study chapter 2 with you. Chapter 2 is focusing on the humanity of Jesus Christ. So the first two chapters of Hebrews lay down the foundation of who Jesus is. And we have to come and understand and believe, because as I said, in the long run, how you believe in Jesus Christ will make an impact in your faith and in your walk with God. So I have a question for you. The deity of Jesus has been attacked since he came to the world. We all know that. Even today, there's a lot of articles, talk to people, and they would just say he's the perfect man. You know, he was great. He was a good rabbi. He performed miracles, fine. Many people could do that too, all these things. And they simply would not accept and believe the deity of Jesus. Because once they believe, that means they have to believe in God, they have to believe the Trinity, they have to believe what Jesus has done. I already give you some hints about these questions. Did you hear me? Okay, so question for the week. Come back next week, let me know. Okay, if Jesus were not God, have you thought about that? Brothers and sisters, if Jesus were not God, what would it do to your faith? I'm not saying that God doesn't exist. I just say Jesus were not God. God the Father is still there, we're assuming. So if Jesus were not God, what would it do to your faith? Do you have a pen? Do you take bulletin home? Can you write down the questions, you know, like a teacher, you know, write down the question, now go home and do the homework and come back next week. Oh, no, not tomorrow, at least. Next week. Write it down. You know, I really hope that you can answer me next week, because I'm preaching next week, so I will be here and you will be here, I hope. Don't run away. Write it down, you know, really write down some answers. If Jesus were not God, as long as you live, as long as you have become a Christian, you assume Jesus is God, I hope. And you are so blessed with that truth. But you have to look at another way to help you, to help me. If Jesus were not God, what would it do to your faith? He might still go to the cross, die as a perfect man. Could he do it? Would his sacrifice be acceptable? Okay, so under these questions, I already asked you a few more questions to help you to think it through. So come back next week, bring these questions. We'll spend the first 30 minutes to answer these questions. No, I'm just kidding. The first 5 minutes. So I recognize you sitting here today, and I hope you come back next week, and I'm going to ask some of you. So even though you sit way back, I still can call your name, because I know most of your names. And Peter and, you know, you will be going home, so you are free. But most of you will come back, I hope. And the first 5 minutes, I will ask you these questions. And please give me some answers. And this is a good exercise. Ask yourself, if Jesus were not God, what will you do to your faith? If Jesus were not God, how do you share the gospel? If Jesus were not God, can you still believe in God? So the next week, we will continue to study the book of Hebrews. We might have studied more in the near future. Let's pray together. Remember these questions. Even though you don't write it down, I hope it's in your heart, in your mind. We'll come back next week. Let's pray. Our Father, we'll give you thanks for today. Thank you for the book of Hebrews. Even though we do not know who wrote this book, but this book is one of the most important books in the New Testament. A lot of us might not realize that. But if we take out the book of Hebrews, we'll be missing a big chunk of who Jesus really is. The revelation may not be complete without the book of Hebrews about Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, and we believe in it, because we do believe this is the revelation, the inspired word of God. Lord, we pray that as we become a Christian, we are being asked many times by our colleagues, our friends, even our family members, who actually is Jesus? Lord, how do we answer that question? Lord, we pray that we will be able to answer it correctly, because deep down in my heart, I do believe if we're missing something about Jesus Christ, either his humanity or his deity, our faith in him, our faith in God, our faith in the Bible is not sitting on the foundation properly. Lord, we pray that as we becoming a Christian, we are growing in Christ. Lord, we pray that we will be able to know him better every day. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.